GOP looks to control Senate.
Victory is in the air. We're going to bring it home.
Parties scramble as voters go to the polls.
It's all about turnout.
Air Force grounds nuclear missile commanders.
The military takes nuclear weapons very, very seriously.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. The fight for control of the United States Senate headlines this midterm election day. Republicans hope to seize the majority from Democrats, and in 36 states, voters will choose governors. We have CBS News team coverage of campaign 2014, and we begin with correspondent Barry Bagnato.
45 plus 6, the math that matters for Republicans seeking a 51-seat Senate majority and control of both houses of Congress. Gains in Montana, South Dakota, and West Virginia seem assured. Arkansas is well within reach. That would leave just two more wins in a number of close contests.
There's a lot of these battleground races that are really, really tight poll-wise, 1, 2% going one way or the other.
CBS News senior political editor Steve Chikaris says late vote counts and possible runoffs could leave the outcome in limbo past this election day.
This is Steve Futterman in Louisville, Kentucky. Mitch McConnell has a chance to win the biggest prize tonight.
After 6 years of borrowing and spending and taxing and regulation, these people need to be stopped.
If things go the Republicans' way, McConnell is poised to become the new Senate Majority Leader. McConnell spent yesterday predicting victory.
Let's go out there and sock it to him.
I'm Peter King in Atlanta.
I want you to meet Curtis Anderson.
Last-minute campaigning took Republican David Perdue to seven stops with his wife, repeating a now familiar theme.
Barack Obama wants Michelle Nunn in the Senate to fight for him. Bonnie and I want to go to Washington to fight for you.
Democrat Nunn says her willingness to cross the aisle has helped her.
A Republican couple came up to me and said, we really want to vote for you. And I said, well, just do it.
Polls call this one too close to call. And that could mean a runoff in January.
I'm Lee Frank in Denver. A Colorado Democratic senator and the Democratic governor are both in tight races to keep their jobs. Senator Mark Udall's opponent, Representative Cory Gardner, has campaigned to appear not too conservative. Governor John Hickenlooper has been targeted for supporting increased gun registration and for halting an execution.
I'm Vicki Barker. Governor's mansions in 36 states up for grabs, among them key swing state Florida, where Republican Rick Scott and former Governor Charlie Crist fought a bitter battle. In Maine, the famously combative Republican Paul LePage in a dead heat with Democrat Mike Michaud. And in Wisconsin, Democrat Mary Burke trying to deprive incumbent Scott Walker of his job, seen as a possible launching pad for a presidential bid.
I'm Peter Mayer at the White House. Today's outcome will set the stage for the rest of the Obama presidency. Spokesman Josh Earnest acknowledged political reality.
There has traditionally been a drop-off among some segments of the Democratic Party electorate in midterm elections.
Democrats, though, hope turnout efforts based on the Obama 2012 re-election strategy will disprove those predictions of a GOP Senate takeover.
I'm Dan Revive. The Democratic Party is usually better at the so-called ground game, getting their supporters to vote. But some Democrats express concern that without Barack Obama at the top of the ballot, African-American voters may not feel motivated to participate today. And in states such as Georgia, Louisiana, Kentucky, and North Carolina, Democrats say they really need black voters.
I'm Jim Crisula. Early voting, either in person or by mail-in ballots, is up considerably in at least 10 states from the last midterm election 4 years ago. More than 16 million people in 31 states have already voted. Republicans and Democrats alike say the numbers show they have the advantage.
I'm Heather Bosch. Americans are voting on some controversial ballot measures. Alaska, Oregon, and Washington, D.C. voters are looking at legalizing recreational pot use. Colorado and North Dakota could expand rights to fetuses, while Tennessee would increase regulations on abortion. Massachusetts might limit gambling. Colorado and Oregon could require genetically modified foods to be labeled. One Washington state measure would expand gun background checks. Another would forbid that.
The debris field is far and wide in California's Mojave Desert, where a private spaceship during a test flight crashed last week.
We're beginning to find small lightweight parts as far as 30 to 35 miles northeast of that section.
Acting NTSB Chairman Christopher Hart says Virgin Galactic cockpit video indicates the co-pilot did unlock the system used to slow the craft down earlier than planned, but it's not clear if it was actually deployed. A second step is needed to do that. Experts on human error are part of the investigation. The Air Force has fired two commanders and disciplined a third as an investigation continues into training lapses, misbehavior, and morale at a pair of intercontinental ballistic missile bases. CBS News military analyst Jeff McCausland.
Since there were three commanders from three different wings and not in one single wing, this is most likely the case, and that it's a systemic problem as opposed to a problem that was confined to one single organization.
It's still going to be a while for tens of thousands of people who lost power in last weekend's heavy snowstorm in Maine. Gail Rice is with Central Maine Power.
We have projected that we will have 90% of customers affected by this storm back in service late Wednesday evening.
Overseas, thousands of Iranians marked the anniversary of the 1979 U.S. Embassy takeover with an anti-American rally in Tehran. American, Israeli, and British flags were burned. In Syria, it's alleged ISIS militants abducted 150 Kurdish boys near the besieged border town of Kobani 4 months ago, subjecting them to physical and mental abuse.
Treatment they sustained in detention was quite terrible, including regular beatings and being forced to watch horrible ISIS videos of even beheading.
Fred Abrahams of Human Rights Watch says the boys were later exchanged for ISIS fighters who'd been captured by the Kurds. NBA star LeBron James took to Instagram to applaud another basketball hero, Lauryn Hill, the college freshman we told you about yesterday, who's battled brain cancer and played over the weekend. James wrote, "You are simply amazing. Thank you for inspiring me." The most played song on Spotify last week was Taylor Swift's Shake It Off. That was then, this is now. Swift has pulled that song and all of her music from the popular streaming service. Spotify announced the news like a dumped boyfriend, begging her to stay. Swift's people aren't commenting on a move that's seen as a way to get more fans to buy her music. Her new album did sell 700,000 copies in the first 2 days of sales last week. An art auction in New York City today with a Van Gogh work leading the way could bring in tens of millions of dollars. CBS's Heather Bosch went to Sotheby's to take a look.
A still life of poppies, blue cornflowers and daisies, colors thick and brilliant.
There's a real power and energy in each one of these swirls of paint.
Sotheby's David Norman says this work by Vincent van Gogh could be worth $50 million. Alberto Giacometti created the tall life figure here perched atop two wheels.
It is called the Chariot.
The sculpture could fetch $100 million, and $45 million is the expected bid for the slender face.
Carved in stone by the great artist Amedeo Modigliani.
Known for his painted nudes, the artist earlier in his career carved sandstone he found at Paris construction sites. Heather Bosch, CBS News, New York.
And that's the CBS World News Roundup for Tuesday, November 4th, Election Day. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.